Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We're going to continue today to speak concerning the things that are coming and concerning the attempted wars and concerning the man-child and the raising up of the bride and so on. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless us today in knowledge and understanding. And you've been speaking to us in dreams and visions and words by faith. And we thank you so much, Lord, for your blessing in delivering us from evil, purifying to yourself a holy people to begin this battle, and also to begin this battle for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to give you some dreams today, some words to go with them, and this first one was given to Eve Brast on 4/9/18, and it's the first of several dreams that the Lord is speaking to us about the things that are coming, what he expects of us, so on. And Eve said, I dreamed that I was walking into the front door of David's house. And we've learned that this is the David man-child reformers, spiritual house, not a physical house. And he had a very upscale house in a nice neighborhood. It was a $350,000 to $400,000 two-story brick home with a large swimming pool in the backyard. All these things are very useful. I don't live that high off the hog, but I don't really care to either. So, at any rate, it represents, as I said, this David man-child reformer. And as I walked inside the whole first floor, was a very high-end restaurant with many tables and waiters and waitresses taking orders, bringing out very expensive dishes of food. And, of course, as you would suspect in a reformer's household, this is a worldwide reformer's household, that feeding the saints high-quality spiritual food, just as Jesus did as the man-child in his day, will be necessary, you know, to get the people of God back walking in the kingdom as they did in the Gospels and the book of Acts and so on. She said, my sons, Elijah and Josiah, were with me, and we met Noah at a table and sat down. All my boys were younger, maybe 12, 6, and 3. And, of course, this represents their spiritual age, I believe. All of these prophetic entities, you know, Elijah, Josiah, and Noah, are growing up in the David man-child houses. The witnesses, the reformers, and those who will be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord can be represented by these groups. So they're growing up, even pre-man-child anointing with the latter rain. But after that, things really get started. And this dream is sometime in the very near future. Noah is away at college, but is coming here shortly. And he's not on the spiritual food at the moment, so at this time of this revelation, he was partaking of the spiritual food. She said, there was a black boy, Noah's age, sitting to my left. He was being very picky and ungrateful of the expensive food that was being set before him. Elijah and Josiah told him that he should quit complaining and eat, but he just ignored them and continued to whine. He got up and went out to the backyard. I got up and followed him outside because I was concerned about him. And of course, I believe Eve represents the bride in this dream. That's also a worldwide entity under the tutorship, I would say, of the man-child ministry, just as it was in the Bible. And she said almost the entire backyard was taken up by a large swimming pool with some nice landscaping around the house and the fence. David was standing on the other side of the pool near the edge. I walked around to where he was. The sun was shining, and it seemed there wasn't a cloud in the sky. He was watching a husky black man with dreadlocks who was the boy's father. I knew in this dream that he was secretly factious in his heart, but acted it as if he was on board with the ministry and in agreement with David. And of course, the blackness here has nothing to do with ethnicity. the black is a type of walking in darkness, as the Lord has shown us. And this entity in the larger UBM will die as Jesus and the man-child, David, smites those Edomite spirits from the factious. Some will die to those spirits and will resulting in their life and changing, and some will just die. That's what the Lord has shown us. The boy, and I believe that this the boy here represents the fruit of the man in darkness, his spiritual man, his conscience, if you will. The boy was worried about his dad getting too close to the edge of the pool because neither one of them could swim. Don't know if you remember the dream my youngest son had many years ago. Actually, it wasn't a dream, it was an open vision about a ship on the ocean, and it was full of people. The people dressed in white were on the right side of the ship. People dressed in black were on the left side of the ship. And suddenly a plane came down and shot the ship and blew it to pieces. It was in the water, but the people dressed in black couldn't swim. Why is that? That spiritually people walking in darkness can't swim. They can't stay above the curse. There is a curse upon sin. You can't get out of it. There's nothing you can do to get out of it except don't be a sinner. Turn to the Lord, right? So neither one of them could swim, and that's the reason. Under the curse they go. And he began to adamantly tried to warn his dad and pull him away from the edge of the pool. But his dad became annoyed and angry with him because he was interfering, and he shoved him with force and he fell into the pool. And this represents a person pushing away their conscience, which is should be the renewed word of God in their mind, right? That's how you form your conscience spiritually, is by teaching it the Word of God. So pushing away what you know the Word says will ultimately bring spiritual death. When a person knows what they're supposed to do and they willfully walk away from it, the soul that sins must die. Right. And when he realized what he had done in pushing his fruit into the pool there, he jumped in to try to save the boy. Some do realize that they're losing their spiritual life, but they have no power to save it. Only the righteous have that. Only the people dressed in white have that. One factious person said to me recently, "David, everything I learned from UBM is going from my mind. and this is supernaturally common among them. I mean, God just, okay, you don't appreciate this and you don't obey this, I'll take this away from you and I will give it to another. And that's exactly what he does. Suddenly I was watching both of them in the water drowning, and I felt really bad for them. It seemed like a useless tragedy. It is. All you have to do is obey the word. Obey your conscience. Don't push it away. If you do, it will get quieter and quieter and quieter until it dies. Then I was standing next to David again, and the winds picked up violently, and gray clouds were quickly moving in above the house. And I believe that this is the judgments that we've spoken of that are coming, and probably have already started, although very slowly, as far as these diseases that are being spread and things like that. So they're on the way in this revelation right here. And David put his arm around my shoulder to protect me from the debris that was flying around. I believe this represents that the man-child David will protect the bride in the coming days. Jesus said, I've lost none except the son of perdition. Right? He protected them. And he said, come on, we need to get going. There's a bad storm coming in. Yes. Well, I can say that right now this is true. The bad storm is those catastrophes that we've been expecting. They're coming in. I asked Father for a word for this black man. And my finger was on many are mine iniquity. Many are mine iniquities. In the concordance. And the word there was Job 13:23, in context through 28. How many are mine iniquities and sins? The person walking in darkness. A perfect description. Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Because the problem is they really don't know. Once you're turned over to this reprobation, you really don't know you have any sin. And this is the kind of faction reprobation we've seen. It's not necessarily permanent, but it is turned over to a reprobate mind. Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou harass a driven leaf? And that's exactly what they are. They are driven. A dried up, driven leaf. Driven before the wind or spirits that they've been given over to. And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? Okay, well, you know, individuals can be stubble or your flesh can be stubble, but we go through the furnace to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. And that could mean people, individuals who will be lost and never return, or it can be your old flesh, you know. For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to inherit the iniquities of my youth. Oh, and this is so true. All of these people are turned over to, and a lot of other people that aren't, their problem isn't faction, but it is blackness, you know. They're turned over to their youthful lusts. We've watched it. It's pretty consistent. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, meaning they can't get out of it, and makest all my paths, and markest all my paths. And the Lord directs them. I mean, if you are a vessel of honor, he will direct that. If you're a vessel of dishonor, he will direct that. Thou settest a bound to the soles of my feet. Though I am like a rotten thing that consumeth, like a garment that is moth-eaten, yet the Lord will use everything for his glory. And I asked Father, "What is the black man's offense?" And my finger was on betray. Wow. God is sovereign. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Betray. In the concordance under John 13 and 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Well, let me say that those who fall into faction or other kinds of sin become Judases to the body. They're bad for everybody around them. They're a curse on everybody around them. They destroy their families, everything. Okay, so, you know, God is into cleansing the body. He is into delivering us from this such. And the word, which is getting too close to the pool, that word will drive them forth, because when they disobey it, it becomes the curse that drowns them. That word drives them out. They can't stand to listen to it. You don't have to throw them out, even though they're gross sinners. You don't have to throw them out. They run from the water. And in so doing, they die spiritually. And then she had another one on 4/10/18. Dream number two. I dreamed that local UBM was in a meeting hall that was located in the center of many acres of land that David owned. This is, again, talking about the David Man Child Ministries, who are basically bringing people to the promised land, the land of the promises. I was able to see through the wall of the meeting hall, and I could see afar off the Asian people and tall Caucasian man, mobile homes on David's land side by side. This is speaks of many people going into wilderness, symbolized by mobile homes, which are like the tents that the Israelites had when they went into the wilderness. They were mobile homes. How many of you know there were factious people there fighting against Moses and trying to destroy the people in the wilderness? And then the scene changed, and it was nighttime. And I was standing in an undeveloped area of the hospital parking lot. Well, the church is supposed to be like a hospital. Our work is to heal the sick spiritually and physically. A parking lot is for vehicles, which we are, to be at rest. A parking lot, they're at rest, right? And faith in the promises brings this rest. And this is how we heal spiritually and physically God's people. All right. She said many UBMers were pulling up and parking in the lot that had been completed, but it was quickly filling up. Okay, so here's a lot that's quickly filling up. These are people at rest. Their vehicles are at rest. And they're coming to join us in the wilderness. Okay. David and Michael pulled up to me with a trailer that had a little red bobcat with a push blade on the back of the trailer. They had bought it for me and told me to level the dirt of the new undeveloped parking lot that I was standing on. Well, I tell you, Eve is really a many-gifted lady. You got to be to drive a bobcat. I know. I've driven bobcats. You got every hand, both hands and both feet have to work simultaneously in opposite directions. And if you haven't used one in a little while, you have to get back into the order of things, and your mind has to be trained again to do this. You know, now I've used a caterpillar skid steer too, extremely easy, extremely easy. Very well-built machine, you know. But the Bobcat, if you only use it once in a while, you're liable to bang something up. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, gave it to Eve, and she was training on it, I guess. And, of course, expansion is expected. We've been given this many times, that people coming here from all over the world and wherever else. God designs to train up people in the wilderness. He's sending them there. So, but thinking about this parking lot and rest, Isaiah 40 and 4 comes to mind. Every valley shall be exalted. That's talking about humble people. They're going to be lifted up. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. That's talking about proud people. They're going to be put down. And the uneven shall be made level, kind of like what you need to do with the Bobcat. And the rough places a plain. So you got to smooth it all out. Hey, this is speaks a lot about John the Baptist. His ministry was repentance, and it was to level things out for the coming of the Lord, was it not? The spirit of repentance, you can see it right here in this text, is in Eve. It's in many people, the spirit of repentance. It is preparing the way for the coming of the Lord in his man-child. So I got into it and began learning how to work the front blade. Man, you got to learn how to work the front blade. You got to learn how to work the right tires and the left tires or tracks, depending upon what you got on the thing. You got to learn how to go forward and backward. You got to learn how to twist the bucket up and down and back and forth and, you know, all these things. And you got to do them all at once. And once I was finished, I went in to work on at the hospital, which I believe is representative of the real true church, the called out ones, right? Many of the nurses I worked with were sitting around rectangular white fold-out tables, and they were beginning to take a final exam. They were happy to see me and said, "You're lucky you've already taken the test and passed it. We're just now getting started." You know what that is, don't you? The UBMers preparing to nurse the spiritually sick, but also they will be learning from the bride among us who is the first to pass the test. Listen, the bride's been going through her tests, pre-tribulation, to get prepared to follow the man-child. The rest haven't learned that yet. And the tests are the tests that the bride have gone through. The rest of the church is going to go through too. And let me explain by the rest of this. I began to go around to each of them and help them to answer the questions so they could pass it too. And then I woke up. And I asked the Father for a word for me having passed the test, and my finger was on garments, quote unquote, in Psalm 22 and 18, context 16 through 20. For dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. Well, let me say, this was true of Jesus. It was true of the bride. It's been true of Eve. It's been true of the bride that she represents. It's true of the man-child. This is true. The dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced, which means to criticize or speak against, my hands, which is works, and my feet, which is walk. And that's exactly what they do. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments. Garments in Revelation 19 represent the righteous acts of the saints. They part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. You recognize the preparation for the crucifixion of Jesus here, and the wicked around him, you know, doing these things. But be thou not far off, O Lord, O thou my succor. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Okay, the dogs in our life are the test of whether we will obey the word or not. They're constantly trying to get us to depart from the word, whether you realize it or not. They're constantly trying to do that. And if you don't do it, they get more angry and get more inventive, I would say. Those demons are trying to cause you to fail. The demons in them. And Jesus was tested by the big daddy dog, wasn't he? Yes, right. He sure was. And he overcame so he could start his ministry. And now we know other people are going through the same thing. The bride is about finished with this. The church is about to start this. That's what we see about the test. Then she had another one on 4:14:18, a third dream. I dreamed that I was standing in the living room of David's house. It was an old house I'd never seen before, and it was very long and had many rooms that had been added on to it over the years. All of local UBM was sitting around the living room on chairs and couches, and David was sitting in his blue recliner, and Michael was standing in between us. Let me say that local UBM quite often are used in the dreams, just like David is used in the dream of a corporate body. Local UBM is used of a corporate body. Okay, because what happens here is just a smaller version of what's happening out there, right? David was very excited, and he told Michael that he had had a dream / revelation in the night. I heard both of these terms used simultaneously when he spoke, and when the man-child anointing was going to take place. This was the revelation, when the man-child anointing was going to take place. And Michael raised his hands up and his voice and hushed everyone in the room, because they were all talking amongst themselves, and said that David had a very important announcement to make. And David stood up and said, I have had a dream / revelation in the night of when the man-child anointing will take place. This is interesting. You may remember we had something similar to this. Anyway, this was very exciting. And now you all need to go to your houses and get ready. And we've been talking about getting ready. We've been talking about a second chance that we've been given of the second Passover, which is 1 month after the first Passover. Naturally speaking, I think it's around the 30th of this month. And but when it's physically going to happen, I don't know, because the sign, a sign means an oath. It means a sign of something to come. So it could be something immediately after that, or what after. But I'm looking at things that are happening around me, and I'm thinking, oh boy, we're getting close, you know. So he sent them all off to get ready. And to be ready to have a Passover is the way you escape these judgments that are coming, right? So then everyone began chattering and became excited and began gathering their bags and jackets and Bibles and notebooks to go to their homes and prepare for the anointing. Yeah. And I asked Father for a word concerning the man-child anointing happening soon, and my finger was on the word must. Must happen soon, right? For it must come to pass is the phrase around it. And that's in Matthew 24:6. And 6 through 8 is the context. By the way, we received this text in our morning meeting and pointed out the revelation in it, which I'm going to share with you. Verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must needs come to pass. But the end is not yet." So don't worry, that's just a rumor. We just saw a tremendous rumor, and it looked like, oh boy, here it is, you know. What we're seeing here is the rumors must come to pass before the man-child comes in Revelation 6:1-2. That's the first seal in which the man-child comes. And, of course, the Lord is coming in the man-child, just like he did in the first son of David. He's coming in this second spiritual corporate body of the son of David to do the same thing. So the beginning of the tribulation is Revelation 6:1-2, the first seal. And then comes the wars of Revelation 6:3, which happened in the next verse. Listen, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and earthquakes in divers places. But all these things are the beginning of travail." So there you have it. That's 6:3. This great sword that's given to that rider to bring war upon the earth. And you'll notice that before that comes the man-child anointing. 6:1-2. 6:3, the war is later. So, and also it says the beginning of travail. So it's at the beginning of the tribulation, just like Revelation 6:1-3 is. And by the way, this is exactly what I taught last Wednesday on 4:11-18 as a revelation of when the man-child anointing will come. And it was called Man-Child Escapes and is Anointed Before War. Now, Eve was repeating it here in this dream, so I asked her if she had heard or read that teaching, and she said no, she didn't. She's been working a lot of overtime at work. She was moving. All things were going on. She didn't get to listen to that. She didn't even know what it was about. And here it is repeated perfectly. And this time the Lord is pointing out that this is a revelation from God. And this is, of course, a confirmation that this revelation is from the Lord, and I believe it's upon us. You know, the second Passover, again, it's around the 30th of April, I believe, but it doesn't have to happen on the 30th, but it could, as usual, we could say that. So she said, "I asked Father for a word concerning when the man-child will be anointed, and my finger was on the word 12. In Revelation 7:6. And this is right in the middle of the chapter concerning the 144,000, and there are 12 twelves in this chapter. How about that? 12 twelves. "Of the tribe of Asher," the verse 6 is the one she put her finger on, "of the tribe of Asher, 12,000, of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000, of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. I then asked if he would be more specific or a little clearer about when the man-child anointing will happen. And I reopened my Bible and stuck my finger down on the word 12. You can't make this stuff up, folks. And again, it was in Revelation, this time in chapter 21, verse 14. This chapter also has at least four 12s in it. Amazing. Verse 14, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations." There it is. And on them 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That's another strong confirmation. 12 is the number of completion. It is like the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes, the 12 elders, divine power and authority and rule is expressed in the number 12. And of course, 12 times 12 equals 144, the number of the man-child. And the anointing comes when they are complete. Remember, 12 is number of completion. We also have a dream on our site about 12 man-childs. And I suspected there that it was a spiritual number, and this is very plain that that's exactly what it is. Now, again, this revelation points out that this great world war that is coming has to happen after the man-child's anointing. Well, we can see, unless you're watching mainstream media, they're discussing it all up. But if you're not watching that, you can see it all over the internet, attacks and things going on in order to start this world war. They tried very hard to start this world war. And guess what? They can't do it because it can't happen until something else happens. Many thought that when President Trump, that he had lost his mind when he struck Syria for a perceived chemical attack on their own people, which is ludicrous. Why would he do that? First of all, everybody was planning on leaving, and now they get hit so that everybody has to stay and fight. Well, who would have done that? Yes, you know, the deep state. And it turned out to be a staged false flag by the deep state to cause World War III. But guess what? World War III can't come until the man-child is anointed. The president, however, struck a bunch of, what we found out were worthless buildings that were to be torn down anyway. And this was collaborated, that he had collaborated covertly with the Russians to do this, to put off any political capital that the deep state had against Trump. It was an appeasement thing, but at the same time, he's bringing down the deep state. Some say the deep state had chemical, biological weapons hidden in these places. I don't think so, but that is possible. And then the Russians threatened to retaliate by taking out the Saudi chemical, biological weapons that their deep state partners there had been supplying to ISIS. Well, look at this. They false flagged us into fighting and destroying them, all the while everybody cheers because they're taking out the enemy. And the enemy is the deep state. And by the way, so this, the hit and the retaliation by the Russians, this is all staged, folks. It's just staged. And wouldn't it be something if the president would retaliate again against the Russian, so to speak, tongue in cheek, you know, and take out their chemical, biological weapons in Iran or Turkey? I think, wow, Lord, this is awesome, you know. And by the way, there's some people out there that are screaming bloody murder. Why did you do this? Why did you get into this war? Why? He's trying to stop a war. And while he's trying to stop the war, he's taking out the enemy's munitions. That's what I think. And I think the president, by God's grace, has outsmarted them again to stop World War III until it's supposed to happen. Now, I'm not putting it off very far. It's going to happen pretty soon, but it has to be stopped until it's supposed to happen. The deep state leaders who resort to Satanism and pedophilia and slander and faction and witchcraft, They have the stupid demons, just like the religious faction does. It's not hard to outsmart them. Proverbs 21 and 30 says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Yep, a bunch of doodlebugs down here trying to overthrow the Lord. Now, what do you think is going to happen? Anyway, the war will come when God says. And so this missile reprisal by the president is also to appease the deep state powers that be by making it appear that he is cooperating with them starting this World War III, while in effect he's delaying it. Listen to Bill Steenland's revelation that he had just a couple days ago. And he had this comment and a dream about this. He said, I read the article that you sent about the airstrike on Syria. And I asked the Lord right before I fell asleep and said, Lord, is this article what's really happening? And this is the dream that he gave me, and I hope I'm totally wrong. I also have been seeing some spirits on Trump that I hadn't before. I felt like the Lord gave me a word that he was being bullied. Yes, absolutely. And that's why he did this, is he's been bullied. They're pushing him. And he doesn't want to get into a war. And I think he's found a way to at least temporarily put it off. And Bill went on to say, I know that you said he has unforgiveness. Yes, I'd commented to Bill about that he has unforgiveness. It comes boiling up out of him ever so often, and it, of course, makes you susceptible to those goofy spirits, so you have to be careful. God's grace is upon him only because a lot of people have been praying for him. I'm sure of it. Bill said, I had a dream. He was in New York. And there were all these thugs and blacks. Once again, in this revelation, these are those that walk in darkness. And that, in this case, it's the deep state around him. And he said, we have a war of our time, a fight of our generation. Yes, it's true. He is the leader of this fight against this criminal underground government. Right? And it seemed like he was going to say more, but was kind of bullied by these black people. Those walking in darkness, right? The deep state. They were speaking up and rallying around him. And I know the kind of people that he was surrounded by. They want to fight just for the thrill and the pride of it. This is true. But that's what these people do. They like to fight. They're very territorial and full of faction and domination towards others. These people started speaking instead of Trump, and he kind of took a back seat behind them. Next, Arnold Schwarzenegger came out from the middle of them, this bunch of liberals, right? And he has under, in parenthesis, liberals and neoconservatives take his side when it suits their agenda. That's true. He walked out with a newspaper clipping from World War II in Germany. He said, I have this clipping from World War III in the dream. And I knew he had meant to say World War II like the last time. I have this clipping from World War II. So what does that mean? Well, I think it means the why and how was World War II started that compares with what we're seeing now to start World War III. Well, Germany invaded Poland. And through Operation Paperclip, we invited the Nazi spirit into our deep state government. Of course, they're always blaming Trump for being a Nazi, but for goodness sake, anybody with a brain, half a brain or a third of a brain, can see who the Nazi is, right? Yes, they invited him into our government. They've been there ever since. And that spirit now is invading the Middle East to bring war, just like World War II. And then, at that time, Britain and France, of course, declared war on Germany in September of 1939. But in parallel, the deep state is under fire and trying to desperately turn the Allies against each other. So there's an invasion in the Middle East of these Nazis. And there's an Allied intervention to defend the Middle East. Okay. And Arnold said that this clipping was what motivated him and inspired him to accomplish everything he had in his life. Just like the rest of the thugs that surrounded Trump, they're motivated by pride, money, status, domination, hatred, and faction, and on and on. I knew that the very place that they stand would be obliterated by war and burned to toast. Yep, that's what God is going to do. It was a very horrifying feeling. I knew that these people were rallying for their own death. Yep, I agree. And we've been talking about the Red Sea. We've been talking about the destruction of Babylon. We've been seeing those parallels out there written in the scripture, even as parallels. So we know the beast is going to go down. This beast of the deep state is going to go down. And one of them said that the attack in Syria wasn't a failure, but that this set the stage for more. One of them said that. They didn't think it was a failure. They thought it was, you know, Trump jumping in on their side. But we learned that they gave them a list to target of buildings and stuff that they could afford to lose. This was a deal between the Russians and Trump. And of course it did set the stage for more. And it wasn't a failure, but it wasn't not the way they thought. It sends deep state scurrying to do something else to start this war, because their scheme failed. Yeah. So let's get back to Eve's dream. I know we left it a long ways back, but let's get back to it. There's some more points here to be made. As a type of the David Manchild body, David turned around and looked back at me. That's Eve, a type of the bride, still standing in the living room and motioning with his index finger for me to come to him. So I went over to him, and he said, "Sit down here." So I sat down on an ottoman in front of him, and he knelt down in front of me and said, "Lift up your shirt." So I lifted up my shirt enough to expose my tummy. Now, we obviously don't do this kind of thing here, but this is a spiritual revelation, and we don't go around touching women like this. But the natural, but in this dream, this is spiritual. I was wondering what he would do, and then he placed his hands on my abdomen and closed his eyes as if praying and willing some miracle for me, but his lips never moved. He just willed it, and it happened. And his hands became very warm, and I felt a healing take place inside of me. I knew something wonderful had happened to me, but I wasn't sure what had happened. Let me say, the bride has been under constant persecution by the faction and needs a healing. The tummy represents the mind of the flesh, and this represents a healing for the mind. You know, Paul said in Philippians 3:19, their God is their belly, you know. It represents the seat of the lusts of the flesh, right? And this thought came to me concerning this healing of the bride. I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. And here it is in context, Joel 3:16, on down through 21. And the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, that's the bride, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. Well, that's what we're expecting. With the coming of the Lord, as he said, but the Lord will be a refuge to his people, a protection for the bride, right? and a stronghold to the children of Israel. Okay, the church. He will protect the church, those that are with him, the real called out ones. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. Enough of the faction. There it is. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt, which is a type of the beast that holds God's people captive, right, shall be a desolation, and Edom, which is a type of the faction, Esau's seed, who hated their brother, lost their birthright, right, shall be a desolation, a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Yes, these entities have warred with the bride, who is gun-shy and needs peace and confidence of the better things to come. And this, I believe, is the healing. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. There it is. I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. So there's going to be a final cleansing, you know. She said, I asked Father for a word concerning my healing, and my finger was on the word. Aha! In Psalm 35 and 25. 17 through 28, context. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great assembly. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful words against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me. They said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. Thou hast seen it, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to justice due unto me. And that's exactly what this is all about. Even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. And verse 25 is where she had her finger. Let them not say in their heart, Aha, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, The Lord be magnified, who hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall talk of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Amen. I went down the street along the side of a highway that had freshly paved blacktop and two freshly painted yellow lines down the center. Those are, of course, warning lines, not to get in the line of oncoming traffic, right? I heard a loud motorcycle coming up fast from behind me, and I turned to look at it, and it was an off-duty police officer on his personal black crotch rocket. And he had a bright yellow reflective rain suit on with yellow helmet. So this is a warning to stay away, but it's also a warning of a police officer that's dangerous, right? He was speeding for no reason on his own personal time and lost control of the bike. In other words, he's not on the job of enforcing the law and is instead breaking it himself. This is like the faction leaders. He laid it down, and he went flying, and his body hit a gray minivan that also had spun out in the center of the road, a vessel of death, gray, that also crossed the line of the law. He then hit the pavement and rolled several times like a rag doll. People began to gather around his body, and I turned and began walking the other way back to David's house, and I thought to myself, I'm glad he's dead. He was a menace to everyone. Yes. And after seeing the destruction of the factious leaders, those infected returned to the house of David, and as we have seen in dreams, visions, and verses. Amen. She said, I asked Father for a word concerning the police officer and him meeting with an accident, and my finger was on mourn and weep in James 4 and 9, 8 through 12 in context. Those who are supposed to keep the law are breaking it and will be judged. He said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. Speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law. There you go. Exactly what the text says. Speak against the law and judge the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judges thy neighbor? Very interesting. Well, I hope we learned something from this. We have a real good confirmation that the man-child is coming very quickly. This war they're trying to start right now is probably the war in Revelation 6 and 3. And the man-child comes first and is anointed first. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We ask that you give us wisdom to be prepared for these things that are upon us, this great storm that's coming. Be prepared to partake of the second Passover in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Thank you, saints. Bye-bye.